Amen. Amen. Giving honor to God, who is the head of my life. Amen. To each and everyone in their respective places. Amen. I thank God, God for the ability to speak. Amen. It's kind of hard not being able to say anything. Or when you do say something, people don't hear what you're saying. And then you have to repeat it, so you put more strain on your voice. Amen. But I thank God for healing. Amen. I'm pretty much same chapter, same two verses, Jeremiah 32. Verse 17 and verse 27. Amen. Can we stand for the reading of God's word? I'm reading from the King James Version. Amen. Glad to see as many out. Amen. When you drove up, you should have been shouting, "You see the progress on the roof." Yes, yes, yes. Amen. That is a blessing. Long time overdue. Amen. We're finally there. So that's progress. Amen. That's where your tithes are going. Amen. I want it to be known. The folks want to know where their money going. Amen. You steady putting in. Folks want to see some results. Amen. There's the results right there. Amen. Thanks for your faithfulness. God is able to bless whatever it is that you give. God can take that and he can multiply it. And that's really what he did. Amen. With the faithful few. Amen. The faithful few. That's all God needs. Just a faithful few. And he took that faithful few tithes. And he is blessing us with an expensive roof. Amen, because the labor will get you. Amen. If the materials don't get you, the labor will. Jeremiah 32, reading from the King James Version, verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretch out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. And verse 27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Amen. For the reading of God's word. Amen. There is a reason why I brought up the roof, is because we saw it as an impossible task. But God specializes in things that are hard. Amen. Amen. For those of you who know what I'm talking about, you know that that roof is not cheap. Amen. It's not something you can buy one and get one free. Amen. It's not that type of deal. Amen. That's an expensive deal, and there's no negotiating. That is the price. Amen. I know sometimes people say, I negotiate, I got me a good deal. Well, sometimes you got to pay the sticker price. But nevertheless, God made a way. Amen. Out of no way. But what I want to talk to you really is about problems. Amen. We all have them. Amen. We keep living. We're going to continue to have them. The problems, they're going to come. I mean, no one is exempt. Not no one. I don't care what age you are. You're not exempt from problems. Some problems all problems are not the same. Adults have their problems. Children, believe it or not, have their problems. And even some adults may say to children, you don't have a problem. Oh, yes, they do. It's just not like your problem. Amen. But they have problems. I mean, we all have problems, but in our problems, I want you to understand is that, you know, don't blame God for your problems. Amen. Because you need to understand where it begins. Many of our problems is because of what we are doing and of what we're not doing. Amen. You can agree with me or not agree with me, but I'm here to tell you that many problems that we bring into our lives is because of something that we failed to do. Amen. 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 It's just that simple. No one undergoing a trial should say, I am being tempted by God. For God is not tempted by evil. And he himself doesn't tempt anyone. Amen. God doesn't do that. I mean, you can look it up in James chapter 1, and I believe you find it in verse 13. But you God does not tempt. Amen. That's not what he does. Here's the thing. Man, it is so easy to blame somebody else. It's easy to blame God. You know, if you listen to people and you hear people whether it be on the news or just in casual conversation, you hear people say something like, you know, I can't believe God did this. I can't believe God allowed this. This is what people naturally say out of their mouths. It just rolls off their tongue like water on the duck's back. Just effortless. Lord, you put me in this situation. Lord, you gave me these desires. Lord, you knew I was broke. Lord, you knew I was weak in that area. God is never, never the source of our problems. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. He's not the source of our problem. We serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. We serve a God who can make a pathway through a Red Sea, send water through a rock, and manna from the sky, and give direction by a cloud during the day and pillar of fire by night. Jesus turned water into wine at a wedding where the glasses were empty. He multiplied 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes for a hungry crowd. We serve a God who can change the times and the season, can also change the heart of your stubbornness. Amen? Can change the heart of your stubborn boss. God is a God that can do the turnaround. Amen? He can do that. He can turn around your finances, and he can restore your health. So what I'm saying is that take all of those problems. God can turn it around for you. All right. So we can't blame God for our problems. All right. But God will operate in your problems. So don't even go there with God. God never sets anyone up to fail. That is not God. He doesn't tempt people. He never puts you in a situation where you have to sin. That's not God. God doesn't do that. God would never lead you to a place where you are forced to do evil. You may find yourself in a tough spot, and which we all do at some times. And sometimes you may find yourself under pressure and choose to do evil. And in your mind, you feel forced by the circumstances to do wrong. But even in those cases, the choice is yours, not God. That's your choice. God is not forcing you to do anything. That is your decision. God does not force anyone to accept him as a personal savior. That is a choice. And if you don't choose, you default to Satan. Amen. It's pure. I can't negotiate that. I can't negotiate that. It's just what it is. If God is not your savior, Jesus, if you have not accepted him as your personal savior, you automatically default to Satan. Period. Not making a decision is making a decision. All right. All right. You just made your decision. So God would never lead you to a place where you are forced to do evil. God never sets us up to fail, to do what to do that would contradict both his holiness and his love. You know, God is not going to go against himself. Now, this is what happens. This is what happened. God sends the trials, and Satan turns it into a temptation. Y'all follow me? For instance, a sickness comes to a child of God. Could that sickness be a test from God? Yes, it could. It almost always is a test from God to purify motives, to cause the child of God to look away from the things of the earth to the things of heaven. God always tries to get us to not dwell so much as to focus on the materialistic things here, but he always tries us to get us to look towards heaven. Amen? To turn us back to the Lord. All God literally tries to do is to turn us to him. Many good things are accomplished through sickness in the life of the believer. Does Satan work through sickness? Yes, he does. Through that very same sickness, Satan will be working to tempt you to despair, to get angry, to bitterness, and to depression. God has a good purpose in mind, but Satan is working through which God intends for your good in order to pull you down. Here's another example. Let's say you lose your job. Okay? Could that be, you can say that could be God's will or whatever. You know how people would throw God into anything. They don't care what it is. They say, well, it must be the Lord's will. And everything ain't the Lord's will. Now, folks are quick to just say it's got to be the Lord's will if it's happening to me. And no, I'm gonna tell y'all, you make it hard for the pastor to preach and teach when we start listening to other foolishness. I mean, literally. I mean, because then all of a sudden people bombard you with all these questions and everything. This is what I be doing on the inside. Because we hear so much, and then all of a sudden in our minds we begin to believe this lie. You lose your job. You say, could that be from God? Yes, it could. If you lose your job, could God have a better purpose in mind for you? Yes, he could. And he often does. He may have a better job for you. He certainly wants to build some spiritual character in your life. And during that time of having lost your job, which is a trial from God, Satan will tempt you to anger, despair, and discouragement. Well, now you lost your job, and now Satan's going to move in, and now he's going to try to bring in bitterness, anger, despair, and try to get you to lash out at people. Now, it could also work the other way. One day you get a promotion and a nice raise in your salary. Can a promotion be a trial from God? Yes, it can be. It could be a test to see how you will handle this newfound blessing. Amen. See how you're going to handle it. It ought to make you more generous, okay? More loving and more sensitive to the needs of other people. God has given you so much, but it is a temptation at the same time in that it may make you be greedy and selfish. Well, you may keep it to yourself and not share with others. We are a blessing to bless others. Sometimes we could have something that we could give somebody, but we don't want to give it to anybody, and we certainly don't want anybody to see it. Amen? Amen, because if they know you got it, your name is going to come up. Amen? Somebody, I'm telling you, that's how that stuff works. You know, somebody know you have something, and next thing you know, they're going to, you know, I don't have it, but I know so-and-so got it. And they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Ain't nobody ever been there, right? We talking about other people. Amen. We talking about other people this morning. We ain't talking about the people at Rhema. Because you all know better. Y'all don't do that. A trial, listen to me. Trial's going to come. Satan tries to tempt us in another direction. The same can be, it could go both ways. A trial becomes a temptation when we respond wrongly. When God means for good, what God means for good, Satan means for evil. Period. Satan twists that which God gives us and whispers in our ear, go ahead, it's okay, no one will ever know. Now, I'm trying to work on something here to get you to understand is that a lot of problems that come into our life is because of us. Sometimes people suffer as a result of their sins, therefore creating a problem. King Saul lived a miserable life and eventually was slain because he had rebelled against God. Judas killed himself because he had betrayed Jesus. Likewise, today, alcoholics may develop disease, thieves may be in prison, etc. Some people think this is the only reason people ever suffer. Sometimes innocent people suffer as a result of other people's sin. Now you got me involved in your foolishness. Because, and here's the thing, you've heard, how many know that a lot of times people hear the truth, but they don't want to apply it. So therefore, they disobey the truth, and then they go out there and they continue, they do it anyway. Your mind is already made up whether you're going to do it or not do it. That's just the way it is. So you go out there and do it. Now you're involved in it, and now guess what? Innocent people come. I remember my mom told me a story of a family that apparently got into an altercation. And this altercation happened where I believe it was a family, it may have been in Centerville, I believe it was, where some brothers went to a situation and I think all the brothers got killed. An innocent person, innocent people, got involved in somebody's foolishness. Then almost wiped out, you know, pretty much wiped out some of the family. That's how other people get involved in things because of your sinful act. So, Peter, in 1 Peter in chapter 2, Jesus is an example of someone who committed no sin at all, yet he was persecuted and killed by wicked men. So we may follow his example and suffer, not for our fault, but when we do good. A lot of times, just the fact that you're doing good, you could be accused of stuff. I've been accused of things that I know I didn't do, but people have their mind set up that, yeah, you did it anyway. Their mind is already set. You're not going to convince them otherwise. Paul's life shows that Jesus' followers truly are often persecuted. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, believe me, you will be persecuted. If you're not, then I will check to see what your life is like. Because if I'm going to tell you something, if you're not being lied on, if you are not going through something for the sake of Christ, I will question whether you're on Christ's side. Because if everything is going great for you and nothing is going wrong, then I will question whose side you're on. All right. Because if you're a child of God, trust me, there's a target on your back. Right. And Satan is aiming for it. But all of this, I'm saying all of this, it all goes back to the Garden of Eden. The serpent came to Eve and tricked her into eating the fruit. She offered some to Adam, and he ate it, knowing full well the consequences of his action. Temptation is not new in any sense. Suddenly, the world became a very unfriendly place. Fear entered the human heart for the very first time. Suddenly, Adam and Eve recognized their nakedness, and they were ashamed. When they heard God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, they hid. Sin had changed everything. Where once they talked with God freely, now they hid, lest their sins be discovered. We had a dog that TJ, when we had the trash in the kitchen, and TJ was roaming the house. TJ would go into the trash. Now, let me tell you something. This is, listen to what I'm saying to you all. This is an animal that I'm describing, which is the way that we do it as humans. This dog went into the trash, scattered the trash all over the kitchen. I mean, all over the kitchen. You would think somebody got an attitude and just ransacked the kitchen. Dog had the trash all over. So the dog committed a sinful act. Listen to what I'm telling you. Committed a sinful act. Normally, this dog, when you come in, he's greeting you at the door, jumping up and down, all happy and everything to see you come home. Now, all of a sudden, this dog has done a sinful act. Guess what the dog was? Hid. When we came into the house, no TJ jumping on you. Okay? You looking for him. Well, he's got to be somewhere. Then you start walking, and you look, and in the kitchen, you see all this trash. And all you have to do, you don't even have to look at him. You don't have to wonder where TJ is. TJ was back in his back, in the back room, inside his cage. If he could close it, he would have did that. Because he knew he was in trouble. Understand what I'm saying? I mean, you see my mom nodding her head. She's telling you, as a witness, that's what he would do. He hid himself because he has sinned. He has done something wrong. Okay? So he hid himself because he knew that when the authority figure came on the scene, there would be some consequences for his actions. He knew this. So he was hid in his cage. Then, and you know, it's kind of like you're going like, well, you, TJ, TJ's in his cage. So you go back there to his cage and he's looking at you. I mean, you can reenact this thing and say, TJ, why are you hiding? And TJ would say, it's the trash you put in the kitchen. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? TJ ain't going to blame himself. He's going to blame you for not taking the trash out. If you had took the trash out, then I would have never went in there and scattered it. You knew that the potential was in me. Y'all follow me? That's what the dog did. He hid himself. So Adam did the same. Adam and they did the same thing. They hid themselves from God when God came. So when God came on the scene, it's not that, you know, when God asks a question, first of all, God is not like he's unaware. He's fully engaged. Basically, what God is doing is just trying to start a conversation. And, you know, to get things going. Y'all ever done that before? You ever, you know, just threw something out there? You know, what color you got on? Well, obviously, you know what color they have on, but you're just starting a conversation. So, entered, so the serpent tempted Eve. She was deceived. She ate. She gave the fruit to Adam. He ate, and rebellious became a way of life. You follow? So not only did it affect Adam and Eve, but it also affected the animal kingdom. So all of that, what they've done, affected everybody. So now we all are dealing with this problem. Okay? It's almost as if, you know, sometimes I look at it, it's like almost as if some people can't wait to sin. You know, I mean, it's kind of like Adam. I believe, you know, okay, man, here it is. God told you all of these trees. You can eat from all these trees, but this one tree, man, you can't. I mean, you can go to this. I'm just going to throw this out there. You know, this is me speaking this. This is me, you know, saying, you know, I mean, you could have went to this tree. You could have fixed you some peach cobbler. Amen. You could have had some peach cobbler. I mean, you could have had some apple pie over here. You know, you could have done a whole lot of stuff. You could have had you a fruit cocktail or anything. I'm just saying. But you had to pick this one tree. It's almost as if you tell somebody, don't do it, and it's like they're going to do it. It's like you know, remember when the eclipse was here? You know, my wife was telling me the story about, you know, Sabrina, how, you know, when you told not to look at the sun, and all of a sudden, this particular day, you want to look at the sun. All other days, you don't care nothing about the sun. But now, all of a sudden, this particular day, you want to look at the sun. So she was telling me, you know, I ain't going to say where from where, but she was telling me how, you know, my daughter was getting ready to, like, go away and sneak away or whatever. And then my wife was like, hey, where you going? She was like, you know, I'm not going anywhere. It's not like I'm getting ready to go look at the sun. This is what my daughter said. Okay, 4 years old. She said, it's not like I'm getting ready to go look at the sun. But the temptation, y'all have to understand, that temptation is there for us to do it. I mean, it's kind of like you know you ain't supposed to be looking at it, but how many of y'all wanted to take a glimpse? You see what I'm saying? Without the glasses. So it's almost as if Adam and Eve, they just couldn't wait to, now I want to see what that tree is about. Okay? The very first time he is tempted, he gives in without even putting up a fight. Some of us, when we're tempted with something, we don't even put up a fight. Is it really a temptation? I mean, if you ain't putting up a fight, you can tell me, that's really not a temptation. It's more like you wanted to do it anyway. Y'all follow what I'm saying?
Amen.
Ever since then, we all been born, listen to what I'm saying, with a hankering for that same forbidden fruit.
Right.
It's kind of like it's in us. We're born craving that fruit that leads to death. Y'all follow me? It's like we're born with it. It's like it's inside of us. We eat it and eat it and can't seem to get enough of it. And that's why the world is so messed up.
All right.
We demand our freedom. When we get it, it killed us. It killed us. But in all of that, we serve a God that has turnaround power. Amen. He has turnaround power. In the beginning, God entered the darkness and displayed his turnaround nature. He spoke words that turned darkness into light and filled the emptiness with fruitfulness. His power brought order into the chaos. God turned the dust of the earth into breath, taking birds of the air and into beasts of the field. He turned Adam's rib into his helpmate. Eve, God revealed himself as humanity's turnaround God. And ever since that moment, the enemy has sought to turn back what God has destined to turn around. So everything that God has tried, has turned around, Satan wants to take it and turn it back around. That's what Satan is trying to do. From his first approach in a garden to Adam and Eve, the enemy came to manipulate and try to reverse God's turn. Sin entered and sought to stop every broken life being restored and every lost soul being found.
All right.
We must seek to be the ones who bring answers where others only see problems.
Oh.
We need to be able to tell everybody where you see a problem, I'm seeing an answer from God. I understand that there is an issue. I understand that there is a problem. But you need to have something within inside of you that says, when you see a problem, I see an answer. So we should not be discouraged. We should not be walking around here confused as if we don't know who to turn to. As if we've forgotten what God has given us in his word. We don't need another night league of basketball to put people on the streets. We need people to have the Holy Ghost power so when they go in the streets, they got something to work with. I'm tired of hearing people say, well, let's get a basketball league so we can get these people off the streets. You want to get a basketball, that's putting them on the streets with nothing. You want to put them on the streets, put them on the streets with some power. We need to see with new eyes. New eyes. Not the old eyes. The old eyes is what's making you look at things fuzzy. But when you look at things with your spiritual eyes, you see things from a different perspective. You don't see things the same way. You see things differently. Where people may see the glass half empty, well, with your spiritual eyes, you see it being half full. When somebody gives you a lemon, you don't look at it as, oh, they gave me a lemon. You go and get you some water and some sugar, and you make you some lemonade. So you need to take what somebody give you and understand how God can take it and make it for your good. We need a greater revelation of whose we are. See, sometimes people need, see, sometimes we go through this identity crisis where we don't understand who we are or who we serve. We need to understand who we are and who we serve. We need to understand that we have a God that is the God of the universe. He is the Almighty God. He created everything. There is nothing that is too hard for God. God sometimes says some things in the Bible he did not say directly to me. But he never uttered one word in the Bible that he didn't say for me. Amen? Let me say that again. God sometimes says some things in the Bible he did not say directly to me. But God never uttered a word in the Bible that he didn't say for me. God is the God of promise. He keeps his word. Even when it seems impossible, even when the circumstances seems to be the opposite, there is no promise too hard for God to fulfill. Every promise that God has ever made will be fulfilled. And there is a promise to meet your very need. The Bible is full of promises. And it's also full of things that God has brought to pass. He promised that the walls of Jericho will fall down. And he also promised that Rahab will be spared. He promised that. He promised to feed Elijah by a raven. He did that. He promised that Mary would bring forth a child by the Holy Spirit. He did just that. We have to understand that when God gives a promise, God is going to fulfill that promise. Now, it's that the problem is, are you willing to hang in there for the promise? Because you have to understand that sometimes that promise may not come today or within the next few minutes, but that promise may come a day or two later. But keep this in mind, didn't it not come? There is no prayer too hard for the Lord to answer. I know sometimes we pray things, but sometimes we pray things outside of God's will. If you pray in God's will, you will get it. All right. Amen? If you pray in his will, you will get it. If you're going against his will, you're not going to get that. As a matter of fact, there are some things that I prayed for that I'm glad that I didn't get. You got to say amen to that, because I know I'm not the only one that's praying for some things and you're like, whoo, I'm glad I didn't get that. I remember when I was starting out on the job, and my mother told me about the job, I wouldn't apply for it because I needed some money. You know, they tired of coming out of their pocket for me. So I needed to get a job. So I'm applying for this job. And once I got there, I was hired. Now, once I figured out what the job entailed, I was like, oh, I don't want to do that. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Listen to this. They moved me into another department. You follow me? I prayed for a job, but I'm glad that I didn't get that one that I applied for. Y'all follow what I'm saying? God knows. He knows. We can pray and pray and pray and like get mad at God for what? You better be glad you didn't get it. You don't want everything. The Lord loves to answer prayers. What a hard thing is it was for Abraham and Sarah. Here it is, Abraham being called the father of many nations, but he ain't have no children. How do you like it? You being called a father, but you don't have a son. So every time, as I said before, they spoke or they said Abraham's name, they were basically speaking what God had promised. So every time they said Abraham's name, all they was doing was confirming what God had said. And so basically what God did, when God heard his word come back to him, God basically blessed Abraham. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And at the time, Sarah was at the point where, you know, you're well up in age. You figure, hey, you know, I don't have any children. And back then, it was a disgrace not to have a child, not to pass it on to someone, you know. But my thing is, what I'm trying to get you to understand, there is nothing too hard for God. God is basically just showing you his resume and letting you see what his resume look like. Many times we want people to say, hey, send me your resume. Basically, when somebody sends you a resume, you're looking to see the credentials. And you're looking to see if they're capable of doing the job. God is basically saying, here's my resume. Nothing has changed on my resume. My resume is just as good today as it was back then. God has said, I still have not. You know how, you know, I was talking to my cousins and, you know, we're not 10 anymore. We're not even 20. But my point is, we starting to feel some things that we wasn't feeling. In other words, we realize that we can't do some things that we used to do back then. We understand now you got to get warmed up. You just can't jump out there like you used to. You got to go through a routine now. And that routine is you got to start stretching. You got to prepare a couple of days before you get out there and do something. In other words, get your mind wrapped around what you need your body to do. But what I'm trying to tell you is that God is saying, I ain't lost nothing. God is saying, I ain't lost a hair. I ain't lost a limb. I ain't lost 1 ounce of strength. God has said, I can still kick it. I can still do it. I can still bless you. Just like I did back then, he said, I can do it today. Ain't nothing lost. You know, most folks go into retirement because it's hard to get up out of their bed now. Amen. They can't work the long hours like they used to. Now they need those hours to sleep a little longer. So they go into retirement. God has said, I sleep no slumber. God has said, I don't have to do all that. God has said, I'm wide awake. I'm very much in tune to what's going on around here. Y'all know how sometimes when you, I tell my wife, you know that I'm only good for one movie. I mean, one movie after that, my eyes are shut. I mean, I can't keep them open. I don't care what I do. I mean, I try to drink a Pepsi. I try to drink anything. But once I sit down, this body just gets tired. But God is saying, I sleep nor slumber. I'm not tired. There's nothing that has diminished from my power. God has said, I can still do the unthinkable. I can still do anything. He said, is there anything too hard for me? So you have to understand the God that we serve. We serve an awesome God who's able to do the impossible. That thing that you're trying to figure out, God is saying, if you just cast your cares upon me, if you just bring your little problem to me. Notice I said little problem because it's not a big thing to God. God is saying, if you bring your little problem to me, I can solve it for you. You may have a problem that you've been trying to solve yourself, and you fail. All I'm trying to do is get you to take it to the Lord. He can take your problem and he can fix it for you. Not only that, God, you know what? When we see one thing as a problem, God, you know, God fix some other stuff too. We go to God and we say, Lord, I got this problem. And while you taking your problem to God, God gonna take you and he gonna fix on you too. So don't think you're just going to go to God with a problem about somebody else or a problem about this. When you go to God, I'm sure he's going to have something for you. That's the way God works. It ain't just a one-way street. That's a two-edged sword you're dealing with. It'll cut you going and coming. So you can't just say, well, I told God about it. What did God say to you? You know, our folks always want to say what somebody else's problem is. You got a problem on you too. But you know what? We so quickly, we get discouraged in our work for the Lord. God's people are frequently, you know, we get discouraged because we see something that's not going right. Let me tell you something. You know, when I step out of this pulpit, I'm human. I'm a human. And I'm going to act like a human. All right? And then so sometimes, you know, the pastor can get discouraged, but you know what? But you have to understand that, well, I may be there for a little bit, but I ain't going to stay there long. there's nothing wrong with just being there for a little bit, but I don't dwell on that place. You know what I'm saying? That's not where I'm going to camp out at. That's not where I'm going to dwell. I may see the sign, and I may be there for a little bit, but you know what? I'm going to keep moving because that's not what God wants me to be. So what I'm saying is that in your life, you will get discouraged. You will get discouraged when you see things happening on TV and on the news. Yes, those are discouraging things, but I want you to know that we have hope. We have hope. And you know you have to know who holds your future. Your future is not in that. Your future is in your Heavenly Father. So I'm saying this to you this morning. Whatever it is that you're dealing with, whatever it is your problem may be, you can take it to the Lord in prayer. But keep this in mind when you go to him. That's not going to be the only thing he's going to fix. He's going to fix everything. And including that may be you. There is no problem too hard for God to solve. He specializes in things that seem impossible. Yes. Now, God may not solve your problem the way you want him to, but there's no problem too hard for God to solve. Right. Now, sometimes we don't always, you know, there's sometimes, you know, when I'm on the job, I'm thinking one way, right? But leadership is thinking a totally different way. And I'm sitting there going like, man, I never thought of it like that. See, our thoughts are not God's thoughts. We can be thinking one way, God is thinking a totally different way. Sometimes, you know, folks will tell you to make a decision based on what you're looking at. But that's not how you're supposed to base a decision. You base a decision on what God wants you to do. There may be something in that for you. You don't know. Some of us are not praying like we should. I tell you this, if you pray like you eat, you have a strong prayer life. There is nothing too hard for God. Moses, I'm going to say this and I'm going to be done. When we consider the fact that God made everything, we affirm his sovereignty. God, who was before time and who will be when time is no more, has at his disposal unlimited power and resources that just cannot be measured. Moses amplified the majesty of God by declaring that God has been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thought had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, he was saying that God is a great God. Who else could call a universe into existence? Who else could form a man from the dust of the ground, put breath in his nostrils, and become a living soul? Who else could order the sun to shine by day and the moon to glow by night? We sing the song, "How Great Thou Art," and rightfully so. There is no problem that God cannot solve, no sorrow he cannot heal, no tear that he cannot dry, and no burden that he cannot lift. When I examine the omnipotence of God, I reached the conclusion that there is nothing, nothing too hard for God. Amen.